Gene Roddenberry in Hollywood, Colleen Stagg in Leeds. Gene Roddenberry at Paramount, Colleen Stagg. It's Tuesday, April 7th, 1981 over here, and I'm sending this over to you. Hope you're having fun. And StagCon 81, and hello Janet and Sheila and Valerie, Sylvia, everyone there. Oh, and Rupert, you reprobate, if you're there, a hello to you. This is Gene Roddenberry, probably the world's greatest Anglophile, wishing that he were there at the convention with you all. Really. With you? I see you're at the Dragonera Hotel. That sounds rather forbidding. I'm sure if Rupert is there, Rupert Evans is there at the bar, as well as some of the others of you, too, that I know, it will be forbidding. Well, what can I tell you? I have no prepared script. Here's really the latest news on Star Trek. I moved back into Paramount Pictures, into an office here, about a month ago, because Paramount seemingly is determined now, indeed, to do a new Star Trek motion picture. The latest on it is that they will probably make it for television, but on a very high budget, so that if in the midst of it they decide to make a motion to release it in motion picture theaters, that they will have a picture with which they can do that. As a matter of fact, I keep hearing more and more rumors that they probably will take a shot at releasing it as a motion picture. I'm sure some of you remember what happened on the last motion picture. There too we started off trying to make a television, 2-hour television movie, and suddenly it just got bigger and bigger, and something like that may happen here. I hope it doesn't get as big as $40 million, and if we can keep the Paramount Junior executives' hands off of the project, we can probably, or they, the people who are making it, can probably bring it in for some reasonable sum. I think they've learned by now, I hear rumors of it anyway, that Star Trek should be principally about people. Yes, we want great special effects, but they should not dominate the people as they did in the last motion picture. I believe that the fans have made their voices heard here and made their disappointment known that they did not see more of Sulu and Uhura, Scotty, the Doctor, and the other characters. Now, what will be my part in this? Well, it was made clear to me from the first that I would not have the kind of creative control that I had on the original Star Trek series. And I did not have that control on the motion picture, as many of you know. Therefore, I have decided never again am I going to put my name on a show as producer, as the man in charge, unless I am really in charge. Therefore, I am going to be the consultant on the show. I have a very good contract for that, and the contract allows me to take my name off if I am disappointed with what they're doing. And believe me, if I'm disappointed, my signal to you that they are not doing Star Trek as it should be done will be the fact I will drop my name from the credits. But all in all, I have a very positive attitude toward this new one. I am going to do my damnedest to help them turn out a good Star Trek, to give them the benefit of all knowledge that I might have on the subject. I have no objection to some new people coming along and with new spirit and new enthusiasm make the new Star Trek as relevant to the 80s as ours was, hopefully, to the 60s. My relationships with them to this point have been good. The first story they gave to me, I pointed out the considerable number of scientific errors in it, and I will say this for them, they dropped that story and they began on a new one. We'll stay in touch with you about how it's going, but meanwhile, there are some signs that they are beginning to listen, that they're beginning to realize that Star Trek is not just a lucky formula, that there's a lot more to it than that, and that they will have to work very hard to make it a success. Now, 15 years have gone by since we did the original Star Treks, and I do expect some changes to be necessary. And I intend to be open-minded as I listen to the new ideas and the new concepts that a second time around may require. In return, of course, as I said before, I will expect Paramount and the new production staff to listen as openly and honestly to me. I think there will probably be some changes in cast, and one of the reasons being just simply that we all get older. We can't have the entire starship look like they're on Social Security, or by whatever name it is called over in your country. Bill Shatner has signed up to do the lead. I understand Leonard Nimoy has signed up, and so far I have been told that all of the other regular characters will make at least a guest appearance. However, I think you can expect the producers to try to begin to bring in some new, younger people so that all ages are represented on the bridge and throughout the ship. And indeed, if I were in total charge with full creative control over the show, this is the type of thing that I would be doing too. I'm kind of happy I'm not stuck with that job because, as you probably know, all of the cast are very old and good friends of mine, and I should hate to have the job of sitting there and saying to one or another, I'm sorry, you'll be in this movie, but in subsequent movies you're going to be replaced. And parenthetically, I didn't say this at the beginning, Paramount's plan is to do a whole series of Star Trek movies. And in other words, instead of an hour series as we did before, which I think would be almost impossible to do today anyway, instead of that, there will be a series of movies, hopefully beginning with theatrical movies, but following that, a series of television 90-minute or two-hour movies. Are there some changes which I will not permit and would withdraw my cooperation and my name rather than allow those changes? Yes, of course. And I believe you'll agree with most of them, perhaps all of them. I will naturally expect an effort by Paramount and the new producers to make a quality series with the best available talent in all departments, and that certainly includes writing. I will expect Star Trek to remain essentially Star Trek and never a copy of some other format. Beyond that, the other areas I feel strongly about have to do with the philosophy behind Star Trek, such things as the Prime Directive, which, as you know, prohibits interference with the evolvement of other life forms. I will insist that they maintain Star Trek's preference for non-violent solutions to stories. And as you know, violence happens on Star Trek because that's a part of life, but we never used violence to solve a story, never let our people do that. I would expect a continuation of the respect for life forms, which has always characterized the crew of the Starship Enterprise. I would expect to continue the philosophy that beauty and truth come in many forms, that because something is different does not necessarily mean that it is ugly, or because something thinks differently does not necessarily mean that it is wrong. Star Trek, of course, should always be entertainment. But it has always been a bit more, too, and to be successful again, I believe that we must keep extra qualities working for it beyond entertainment, or in addition to entertainment. Again, all those involved here at Paramount seem to agree with these things I've said to you, and few things would please me better than for this to remain true and for me to be able to place my name as consultant proudly on this film as it comes out. I was sitting around this morning trying to think what else to say to you, and it occurred to me that I do have here on my desk some excerpts from the writings of an extraterrestrial. I mean, really, guaranteed authentic. And as a few of you there know, I read these excerpts a couple of years ago in Washington, D.C. at the National Space Club's annual Goddard Memorial Dinner. They had been kind enough to give me the American Freedom Award, and these extraterrestrials excerpts were heard by the head of NASA, the Secretary of the Air Force, the heads of our Senate and House Subcommittee on Space, and people like that. And none of them questioned the authenticity of this document. And so I hope to get by with it in Leeds, too. Here's what my extraterrestrial had to say. I quote, "Will the human creature evolve into an intelligent life form? That species seems now at the crossroads of this decision. Fortunately, no one else will be harmed if humanity takes the wrong course. If the human creature remains savage, it will, of course, destroy itself long before it can reach out far enough to contaminate other inhabited worlds. The governing laws of the universe work as perfectly in checking and balancing life forces as they do in regulating other natural forces." Still quoting from my extraterrestrial, "Despite what sometimes seems insurmountable evidence to the contrary, I am inclined to believe that humans will ultimately survive. Perhaps by living among them, my judgment has become too subjective, but these humans have given me many pleasant moments. Typical of these moments are those in which they exhibit their skill at music, in which sometimes 100 or more of them will combine into the oneness of symphonic music. It is difficult not to be optimistic about the human creature as one listens to such loveliness, and then realizes that it is being performed by awkward, brute animal forms which still retain the fangs and the claws of their savage beginnings, and each of them also still racked by brutish animal needs to survive and to reproduce. At such moments, one can understand and appreciate humans for what I now believe they truly are. Infants, sometimes cruel and unthinking like all infants, but made attractive and precocious by some divine spark which is within them." My extraterrestrial goes on, "Until recently, humans have been preoccupied almost exclusively with their external world, believing that material things are the only form of reality. The same error characterizes their present step into space. But fortunately, some of them, particularly the young ones, are at last discovering the existence of inner space. And as they become familiar with inner space, humans will begin to understand, of course, that infinity extends not only outward, but in all directions." My extraterrestrial has one line, and I would like to make a gift of this last line to those of you at this convention with all of my love and good wishes. He writes this in conclusion, "It is interesting to reflect on what this infant race might one day accomplish when at last it realizes that the cosmos outside and the cosmos inside themselves are one and the same." Love to you all. Have a good convention. Hope to see all of you in the future at one time or another. Bye-bye.